Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yeah, and of course I pressed the wrong button. I pressed the mute button instead of it. So, 7th of January, 2018, it's 7 o'clock. It's Simon. How are you, Simon?
Hi, JP. Hello to the audience. Yes, I'm fine, thank you. It's bitterly cold here. And we were just talking, weren't we, before we went on air, just how cold it is. There's no snow here, but it is really cold. And you were saying in your part of the world, it was very, very cold.
Yeah, the ice, the ground is frozen, all the mud, all the like, little curls of mud are all frozen solid and almost quite sharp. You can hurt, you know, hurt your foot on them. Anyway, come on.
Okay. Well, lovely to be back. It's the first one of the year. And, always going to be a very exciting time, 2018. I remember saying to some friends we had here today earlier, you know, that popped over, that it was 2012 when I did an interview with, I think it was Miles Johnson, and saying that 2017 was going to be the year when the battle was fought, and 2018 was when we were going to see some payback for that, some positive time. So I still hold to that. I think 17 was quite a strong battle. It's still going on, but 2018 is proving to be very interesting. So, okay, update news. There's a lot going on the internet about certain big names, which, you know, we would refer to as people involved in paedophilia, who have been renditioned to Guantanamo Bay. Now, what I wanted to say was that I haven't have any confirmation of that, but what I have heard is that President Trump has authorized some house arrests for a number of people. Now, they're not apparently being called house arrests. They're being called something like detainment or, you know, stay in your home. So they're not using the legal terms, but for all intents and purposes, my understanding is that some people are under house arrest. So I can't confirm anyone's been shipped off to Guantanamo Bay. And these are high profile. Some of them are very high profile. All of them I would recognize as people who have partaken in child sacrifice or trafficking children. And we think back to the executive orders that just a few weeks ago President Trump wrote, outlawing trafficking of human slavery and saying it was an affront to the United States of America and it was a national emergency. That's the language that has to be used for the president to enact his powers. The name that I'm particularly interested in is John Podesta. John Podesta, you may remember, was Hillary Clinton's frontman. He was the guy that organized the unsuccessful election. And that man's got a heck of a lot to answer for. So I'm waiting for information on him. But certainly there are some key players who have been confined to their homes. But I can't go any further than that simply because I haven't been given any further information. So that's that. That's the big, big news. The big news for 2018 will be paedophilia. It will be the fact that somewhere between 30 and 35 American congressmen or senators will not re-stand. The deal that they've done with President Trump is that if they refuse to stand or they retire, they won't be prosecuted. Now, in Great Britain, United Kingdom, there are probably upwards of 30, between 30 and 35 members of Parliament who we should be watching for, who will also retire, not stand up again. And again, that's because of child trafficking, paedophilia. So it is happening. It is happening. The bit that's very sad for me is that the media are not portraying it in its truthful line. We're getting cases of, well, there's a little bit of inappropriate behavior here, so, you know, this gentleman stood down. The reality is that many of these people have created or been involved in the most horrible crimes. And until we get a media that's free and fair, then we know we've not won. Yes, these people are now slowly but surely being dealt with, but it's just the tip of the iceberg. And frankly, don't let anybody take their eye off the ball until we've got a complete change system. We haven't really won a victory. What we've got is a beginnings of the end in a very obvious way for the elite. Now, I know it's been quite a cliche. People have been saying, oh, you know, they're being taken down. That seems to be quite a phrase that's being used. What I would say is that certain elements, certain parts are being taken down, but the system is so big and the many tentacled octopus, you know, it's going to take a long time. But nevertheless, it's very important. And as we go through to June, July, this business of paedophilia and government and banking and secret societies, politicians, is not going to go away. And that's actually going to become quite a theme. And across the planet, we are going to see groups banding together and making this a clarion call, making it an element. I don't think we'll see new political parties starting up, but we'll certainly see pressure groups. We'll see non-for-profit organizations attempting to awaken consciousness up and use it as the one element that most people can't stand. In other words, you know, if you can bring facts and truth and people start resigning or being prosecuted, then even the most dumbed down individual would have to make a choice as to he or she, which side of the fence they were on. Most people, you know, who have children are good people, and so they would really feel for this. So that's something to watch for. I'm hoping to really get involved in starting some of the projects that I had always earmarked for 2018. And very, very early days yet, but we do have somebody who has come forward. I'm not going to give any details simply because it's really early days. But someone has made an approach to me and said that they've been listening to me since 2015, which is not that long ago, but it's more than just yesterday. And they've said that they'd always heard that I wanted to start a healing center. I'd always... publicly, I said in 2015, I wanted a healing center, but I've been thinking this since the big change in 2012. I wanted a place that did a whole range of healings for people, but was also a place that could have a small conference room, workshops, could be a place to launch campaigns and publicity from. And I've always envisaged that. And being in a place that was perhaps associated with healing in Great Britain. And somebody has come forward and said that they were in a position to fund it. Now, that's really exciting. And this is what we want. We want people who have money to do something with their money positive, to support and help individuals or groups who have a positive cause, something that's good for the planet, something that's good for humanity. So if this does come off, and it looks like it might do, then it's something that I'll obviously be talking about a great deal. I will link it very strongly to connecting consciousness. I want it to be part of the message that's going out across the planet. And so it was something that I hoped would happen, but never really dared think that it could, but I just trusted and believed in source and trusted in the love of the planet, and knew that if I kept true to my word and didn't get corrupted or sidetracked, then the planet would reward those people that are trying to bring some good. So let's hope that comes to something, and I'll keep people informed of how we do with that. Connecting consciousness, I'm going to, and I mentioned this before, so I'm going to write a constitution for it. I'm going to write articles of governance. I'm going to be on a much more, when I say professional, it doesn't mean that it's not been professional, but a much more organized way. It's not going to lose its friendly openness. It's not going to lose its charm for people to meet and talk informally. But there are going to be more structures put in place so that we can, as a group, start to take action and empower good people in government, good people in business, In fact, anybody who has the best interests of humanity and the planet at heart, and needs a little bit of support and help, I'd love to let Connecting Consciousness support those individuals. So over the coming weeks, that is what's going to happen with Connecting Consciousness. I'd love to be in a position, to be able to start rewarding people for their volunteer work. People have helped ceaselessly. And those people who are good, you know, it's obvious, it shines through. In terms of bookings, I think everyone would be absolutely delighted to hear that, through the great help of Andy Bale, who is the webmaster for Connecting Consciousness, we are in the process of setting up a special link page on the website. That means if you want to book with me, all you now need to do is go onto the website. There will be an automatic calendar. You will see the available slots. You'll click on that, pay the fee, and then it's all automatic. So it should speed things up, and it means we don't have to worry about emails being hacked or intercepted, which has been the big problem. It hasn't gone live yet. I'll announce when it does. But that should be a great ease for people who want to get hold of me, want a session. You just go on the website, and then you just book it all automatic. So that's another thing that I think will be really helpful. So that's it for the beginning of the update. It's really and truly that President Trump, whatever people may say, he has produced, and you can't refute this, he's produced two executive orders basically saying that human trafficking, child trafficking, is outlawed, and is an affront to the United States and is a national emergency, which has given him the executive powers to start taking the action that he's taking. And if we think back, I did say, excuse me, I did say before Christmas, was hoping that he would start to take action against paedophiles. He'd been given a list of paedophiles, but we weren't sure how he would go about it. God knows he's had more attempts on his life than we've had hot dinners in Britain. So he's got to tread very carefully. But he has done it. He started to take action. And I know for a fact there are people under house arrest. Let's just hope that the media, the mainstream media, begin to report this. So that's a great hope. We've also got President Putin now, who has made a further comment that unless somebody else talks about aliens and off-planet entities and starts giving the real disclosure, he is going to do it before his term of office is out. So he's still very much on there. And I've had an approach from the major Russian television channel who want to do a sort of a documentary on me, do an interview on me. I'm very wary of TV, even from Russia. Last time I did a TV show, they tried to character assassinate me and make me out to be crazy. Fortunately, I managed to come out of that not too bad. However, this may be more genuine, so we'll give it a go. So 2018, I think, is the year of change for all of us who are holding true and want the best for not just our children or our families, but for, you know, the greater good. I think 2018 is going to be an absolute turning point. So, you know, I'm positive. I'm going into the year positive. And let's hope we get some good questions that come up. Thank you, JP.
Well, there are definitely some good questions. And just to carry on from the last topic, I'll kick in straight away. This is from Johnny Meg. And he's asking about Trump. And he's saying, oh, very good, draining the swamp, going after the pedos. But what about chemtrailing, 5G, and AI supercomputers? What's the, I mean, this is the thing, you know, we everybody's saying, oh yes, there are arrests happening and all this, but the chemtrailing hasn't stopped. And this is the thing that really distresses people. So, that's can you give us your opinion on that?
Yeah, I just think simply that, that the power of the president is not omnipotent. And he's chosen, for right or wrong, whatever, he's chosen that this is the target he's going for. He's going for paedophilia and child trafficking. He's going for that because, from self-interest, simply because his main political enemies are more associated with that than they are with chemtrailing or 5G or anything else. So he is going for the people who may be responsible for trying to kill him. Let's put it like that. He can't tackle everything. In my own small way of being a lawmaker, in my own small way of being a councillor, I know that if you are using the 3D system, and we all are at the moment, you'd have committee meeting after committee meeting. It's a massive amount of bureaucracy to get anything done. So in order to go after paedophilia and child trafficking, his team will have had to spend months writing out legislation that could not be challenged, because it could be challenged in the court. This is what happens generally. When a piece of legislation is rushed through, somebody will go to a supreme judge and try and get something overturned. And you know, that's happened a couple of times with his care bill, et cetera, et cetera. So I think he decided that he would go for child trafficking and paedophilia because he deemed that the greatest threat to the American people and his survival. Now, when that's underway and done with, I think the next one will be chemtrails. It's absolutely right that chemtrails is something that is very dangerous to the planet, not just to America. It's generally the Western world that gets plastered. But that's my answer. Look at the Second World War. The reason primarily that Germany lost the Second World War was because it fought two wars on two fronts. And if anyone is a history aficionado, they know that you choose one battle at a time. And what Trump is doing is choosing one battle, and he's choosing the battle that means the most to him. He's a father. He has children. He has had graphic accounts from first-hand witnesses who have told him, I'm going to be very careful what I say, he's had women tell him, young girls, what was done to them, who did it to them. He's had briefings from people he trusts in the intelligence service. And so he decided that this was what he went after. So just because he's not going after anything else doesn't mean he doesn't care. He's limited in his power. He's limited. And so he's just going for one thing. So I'm very positive about that. Thank you.
Fabulous. That's a, you know, a really good answer, because you can't do everything all at once. And it's got to be like the really, well, like you said, he's taking out first of all the people that are going to try and kill him.
Yes.
And, you know, and then work his way through, I'm sure. So from Stephen, where are we? From our friend Nuck Choris. Now, if you look in the chat room of this Skype call, there we go, get my brain working, right. There are two pictures.
Yes, I see them.
I'm going to post one of them into the regular, into the chat room on the website.
I'm just enlarging it now.
Yep. Okay, so this is from Chuck. Nuck. Sorry, Nuck Choris, not Chuck Norris. But here we go. A few months ago, I posted a question where I showed you pictures of scratch marks that I wake up with on my body. You said it was a person with a device making the marks.
Yeah.
But when we later on had a Skype session, I just showed you other pictures where you said that those pictures looked like I'd been hit with a whip or a piece of leather.
Yeah.
28th of December, I got three massive scratch marks on my left shoulder, and the next day I got another four marks on my shoulder. Three right below the ones I got the day before and one on the side. The following days after that, I got even more marks over my body. Yeah. It seems my left shoulder is always the place that gets the most marks. This time I had seven marks on it at one time. These marks always appear either right before or during a few days after I have a breakdown. Right. Can you tell me anything about why this keeps happening? What is it that I do that causes someone to do this to me?
Right, okay. Well, firstly, you're very brave. Thank you very much. You're very brave. We're not going to mention your name, obviously. Very brave to come forward like this. I'm just opening the second because I do obviously speak to a fair few people and I can't always remember all the cases. I'm just looking now. I'm enlarging these pictures. Right, okay. Right, the scratches on the body are not caused by, let's go through it, it's not caused by a reptilian. The claw marks are incorrect. The claw marks are consistent with literally a cat scratch. I know they're not. But the depth of the scratch and the width of the scratch is created by something quite small. While we can rule out a domestic pussycat, you can say that you're not feeding your cat and therefore it's attacked you, is the length of scratches. Now, if you look at, I don't know which pictures you've posted, but there's a particular picture of the left shoulder and the scratch. There's one particular scratch which is very interesting to me because it's in a very long line. Now, if an animal was to scratch you, it wouldn't create it in such a long line like that. This is much more akin to, for argument's sake, a piece of wood with two nails stuck in it or a nail stuck in it and you drag it across the skin. The reptilian's claws, and I speak as somebody who is reasonably familiar with them, are wider than that, and if dragged across skin, would create a much deeper welt, a much wider, like a furrow being ploughed in a field. What we're looking at here is very small lines, like someone's taken a nail and just dragged it across your skin. Now, there were other marks that you showed me which did look like you've been struck by a very thin whip, not traditional thick thing, but a very, very fine line. These pictures are I can enlarge them for some reason on this much better, and I was of the opinion that you were being tortured. Literally, somebody was dragging a sharp object across you. Now, I don't remember you mentioning this before, and what you said is that it coincided with what you just called a breakdown. Well, I wouldn't at all be surprised if somebody was having this done to them, then you would have an emotional, huge emotional reaction, which you could talk as an emotional breakdown. And not an emotional breakdown to these, but what was causing it. So the breakdown would be after the event, although the scratches might take a day or so to come out, depending on how it was done. So if we can rule out off-planet entities, we're looking at humans. So why would a human do this? Well, the only group that I am aware that would do this would be a form of a satanic group, a group that has a grievance with you, feels that you've done something that they don't like, and they're getting at you. Now, what's also very interesting is that none of the scratches make a pattern. Generally, when off-planet entities do it, there is a pattern. I can look at scratches and I can judge the person's height. You have been lying down when this is done. You're not standing up. You've actually been on a bed or something like that. The left shoulder is an attack. You would always be on the left-hand shoulder. I've talked before about most implants occur on the left-hand shoulder. And if you are communicating with very advanced technology, you would normally have a chip, an etheric chip in your left shoulder. So whoever's doing this is part of almost like the secret space program, in the sense that they have a knowledge of certain parts of the body and where they would be. So I'm not going to put any value on off-planet entities. I'm not going to put any value on a demonic force, because again, the scratches are not consistent with scratches from a demonic force. They're much more consistent with people. So we need to think very carefully about your family background, about your background, and try and piece together some element that would explain why elite groups who have the technology to take you, wipe your memory, and do these things to you, why would they do that? I'm very happy to have another chat with you, no problem with that. But my answer is harder, because if we say, well, it's the greys, this, that, and the other, then we can accept that. But to say that an elite organization is doing it is to ask actually more questions. But that's my true feelings looking at these marks on your body. If you were to show a doctor would probably say that you had self-imposed them. A doctor would say that you were self-harming simply because the scratches are literally as if someone's taken a nail and dragged them across the body. So, you know, it's not something that you could probably go and seek 3D medical care with. So, yeah, I'm happy to do another session with you and take it further. I think you probably need some hypnotherapy. I think that would be very helpful in your case. You will have memories of who's responsible. So thank you for sharing that with all of us. And I really appreciate your courage in doing that. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, so here's a question from Roman in Russia. As it's two questions, well, one's a statement really, and there's an offer of help. Simon, I've been translating news from your blog for many months for the Russian audience and will keep doing it. Please let me know how to contact you if you want to have a Russian version of your website and news from your blog. So that's the first question. You'd like to respond to that? Because the other question is very different.
Excuse me, let me go ahead. Let me come in on that because that's really, these things are all meant to happen, aren't they? Excuse me. I'd said that I've got a Russian, the premier, I can't even remember the name of it, but it's the TN or something, the major Russian television channel wants a documentary. Now, this would go really well, wouldn't it, to be able to have something into Russian when goodness knows how many millions of people are going to have the chance to just have a few minutes having a listen to what I'm about. So the best way to contact me, literally, I definitely haven't received anything from you at all. Would it be very, very difficult for me, JP, if I asked in this one particular instance, if this person could contact you, would that be all right?
Yes, but I can also give you his email. Right now.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. If you can give me his email, I will connect with him directly. That'd be great.
There, that's done. And by the way, that goes for any of these questions because the email is part of the question process, so
gotcha.
Verification. So excellent. So now here's the juicy bit. All right, Simon, could you please explain the meaning of human's eyes color, or human eyes' color? Yeah, where the soul comes from, typical character traits, and other general information we can get seeing when you meet a person for the first time. So right. Like soul memory, you know, eyes, right. eyes.
Okay. So first of all, we shouldn't. As humans, we shouldn't judge a person by the color of their eyes or the color of their hair or whether they wear designer clothes or whether they wear something they bought from a 7-Eleven store. That's just totally not what we should be doing. The elite who are elite because they have power and money and have done for a very long time, they do have this code of conduct. And obviously they share this code of conduct with the general public by saying, you know, you buy branded clothes and you look good. You buy this brand of motor car and you look good. So they do that because that makes their friends lots of money. What they don't do is go into the magic side of it because that's their secret. They don't want people knowing that. So they don't discuss color of eyes. But we see it because Hollywood will look for particular people with certain type of eye color. If not, they'll actually give them some form of lens to put over their eye if they can wear it because they want to match a pattern. So the music industry, but particularly Hollywood, through their recruiting agents, if we can call them that, hopefully they're going to be under house arrest fairly soon. Their recruiting agents will recruit not just women, but predominantly females with a set color of eye. You see, hair can be dyed. But eye color, you can't really change that. And from an energy perspective, an elite person will look at the eye color and say, I know the background you've had because of your eye color. and therefore I am going to put you on a sliding scale of importance. And that's what we shouldn't do. That's what's so wrong. But never mind what a doctor and his or her genetics will talk about. My view is that when a person has multiple lives, mainly on this planet, their eye color will take the energies, not just of the way they are at that time, but of what they're engaging with. So if you are engaging in fourth dimensional energies, then that will have an effect on you. So most Lyrans will come from the sixth dimension, and the Lyran will have brown eyes. But you see also those people from Cyrus or Sirius, most of them, not all, but most of them will have brown eyes as well. So you can't just say a particular dimension produces a particular color and that's all it goes to. It's not about that. It's about the history of that dimension. It's about the level of development and learning of that dimension. So if you come to the third dimension, you already arrive here imprinted with a history, both that you created yourself with interaction and the energies of the environment you were in. And I've said repeatedly that people with green eyes are treated differently by the elite than people with any other color eye. Now, within the coloration of an eye, then those colors mean something to an elite person. You know, if you go and work in an ordinary job, it doesn't mean anything. You know, people, if you've got piercing blue eyes, people may make the comment, you know, you've got very standout eyes. Your eyes are very, you know, very powerful, or they're very piercing, etc. But then they're only saying that because the eye seems to catch them. They're not giving a value judgment. So blue is used by the entertainment industry, brown. And we're not talking about, remember, people from African heritage or black heritage or mixed heritage will generally have brown eyes. We're talking about white people with brown eyes. People with brown eyes tend to be looked down on by the elite in terms of their usefulness. A female with blue eyes is seen as sacrificial material. So I can't remember Lady Diana, Princess Diana, what color her eyes were.
Very blue.
Right, well, there we are. I honestly genuinely couldn't remember. But women with blue eyes are the material that a Satanist would sacrifice. A woman with green eyes, or a man with green eyes, is seen as a person you would have on the management board, because the green eyes is an elite, to these people, remember, is an elite harking back to a time when the gods ruled the earth, and people with green eyes are seen as the managers who were put in place to manage the environment when the gods weren't there. So my answer to your question is, and I can't answer all the other questions, it's too long, but the energies that we are when we forge these, and the energies that we are in impact on who we are. And we can't remove that easily. So let's say 3,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 15,000 years ago, somebody worked in the pyramid, and they weren't sweeping up. They were having a responsible job. And over many lifetimes, they were in the Egyptian energy, that Egyptian god type environment. Their eyes would go green because their soul is leaving that body. It's going into another body. It will choose a body that has the capability to change the color of the eye. So eventually it becomes marked and set as green. And you take that person out of that environment, and they're no longer in ancient Egypt because that culture has gone and fallen. But then maybe they go to, I don't know, ancient Greece, and they're carrying on that sort of role. And then they go to ancient Rome. It's only in the last few hundred years that that huge divide and conquer, that biblical driven, that rough and tough live or die by the sword environment has ended. It's still pretty rough here, but it's not go out on the streets and have your head chopped off by a sword. So as we evolve, and we will as a human race, and as we develop, you'll find that the color of the eyes will begin to revert back to what we originally were. And when we remove all the hierarchical control and the Satanism, it will no longer mean that if you're blue eyes, you go into the entertainment industry. You know, we need a planet where we don't judge people by the color of their eyes, the color of their hair, or how they dress. We should judge people by the good works they do. And, you know, this is part of the control system which we've got to get rid of. So I'm sorry I couldn't answer the rest of your questions, but that was hopefully a good answer for you. Thank you.
There you go. Well, a bit at a time. Some more on that later, maybe. This is from Martin Zeech. Now I'm gonna sort of just choose. People send two or three questions. It takes up a lot of space. So I'm gonna, when people ask multiple questions from now on, I'm just gonna choose one, unless they're really, you know, really pressing ones. So this is the one that I'm choosing here. We were told to ask yourself, trust yourself, meaning our soul, higher self. But how can I recognize if my soul or my mind is answering, and I'm not sure? Mind can be and is being programmed, manipulated, and trapped. So mind versus soul, Simon. How do I do that?
Right. Can I just have clarification on that? Did he say generally people were being mind controlled, or did he say that he felt he might be mind controlled?
I think in terms of, he says mind can be and is being programmed, manipulated, and trapped. So I think in terms of like the whole of humanity watching TV, the whole soul catcher net and all that stuff.
Right. My answer might not be what you're expecting. You will know when you face truth. If you don't know when you face truth, then you've been compromised and you need to go into a deep period of meditation over a number of days or longer, and you need to clear that situation. This isn't, you know, it's not, I'm not belittling you or attacking you. This is a fact that's quite prevalent on the planet, that many people are confused. Many people are influenced by, you quite rightly said, external forces. And it's no wonder that people say, well, what's the right? I don't know whether to trust myself. I can't, you know, if I can't trust myself, then I certainly, who can I trust? I can't trust anyone else. And that's what these people, these negative people want to do, because if they can fracture the human race and stop people believing and trusting, then they will perhaps follow a demigod or, you know, some artificial intelligence, holographic creation. To get back to your question, you need to search inside yourself. All good living creatures have a soul in their body. And the soul in your body is totally different from your mind. The film Dumbo, Jiminy Cricket, used to sit, was it on Dumbo's shoulder? I can't remember. And he was his little voice, his conscience. So we're not looking for Jiminy Cricket or a mantid. What we're looking at is our soul in our body speaking the truth, because the soul will tell you things that you don't want to hear. The soul will actually speak in a clear way to you that your mind could never do that. So if you are struggling to find the true voice within you, that is because your soul has not been, I can't use the word set free, but you're not allowing the soul in your body equal right to influence you. If you are stuck in a particular mindset or a particular environment, you will listen to your mind. Let's say a doctor, God bless him or her, he or she will always be on the empirical evidence side. Well, I can't believe that because I can't prove it. Never mind what their soul is telling them. They are just working with their brain. And those people, they find it very difficult to connect with their true soul, because their brain is the one that, during their working hours, is completely driving their life. So it happens on this planet. What you have to do, and I believe you have to do it, all of us have to do it, is to say, I need my brain and I need my soul, but it is the soul that will speak the truth to me. That is really who I am. If we believe that we come back, if we believe that we incarnate, then your physical brain, as part of your physical body, will just go. But your soul will still remain, and it will go and find another body, and you'll have a different sort of brain and a different sort of body. So that changes, but the soul never changes. That's why we must always stick with the soul, because it is immortal. It won't die. That is the true you. That is the real you. And if you are struggling to find the difference, then all I can say to you is you need to take time out to look inside yourself and find your true voice. And I really wish you well with that. It's very important that everybody does it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it should be like a daily exercise, and at some point to become like Dumbo, that he is it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
From Pseudo Cerberus. Dear Simon, a while back you mentioned that a reptilian general had been captured and was given two options following his execution. He could choose to either have his consciousness reduced and pulled down into the lowest realms of existence, or he could choose to have his soul removed, in quotes. He chose to be removed. So, what does removed mean? Is it to be destroyed utterly or something else? Why,
yeah. I,
what would it have felt like, and who sentenced him?
Okay, I really would like the, either the radio show or the interview or the conference where I said that. I can't remember that.
Okay. A while back, yes.
Can't remember.
Yeah. So you got no intel on a reptilian general who'd been executed?
Well, the person says I said it, and unfortunately I can't remember saying it. I don't think I would have said something around a reptilian general. Don't think I've ever talked about that. It may be that I've talked about other people making soul choices. But I think the word was it executed, a reptilian general executed? Is that the words he's using?
Well, there was following his execution, which presumably means the death of his physical.
Yeah, it's not really my language.
Yeah.
Don't recognize that. It may be that I've said something and that's the way it's been picked up. But as it stands and as it's been communicated, I don't remember saying that at all. Thank you.
Okay. So from Christy. Hello, Simon and JP. Simon, when souls or physical ETs travel through the universe and come across our planet, do they know Earth is a prison planet? Is it like a fact in the universe that everyone else is aware of except for us? And do they have to go through one of the holes in the grid to get here safely so that they don't get trapped themselves? Christian from Romania, thank you.
Well, good question.
Indeed.
By and large, most do know. Any living entity that has the capability to reach this planet would have had a much longer community lifespan. In other words, they would be far more advanced because their time of living is much greater than ours. So their knowledge is greater. If we take the official history that humankind, in the form that we understand it, is around about 4 million years old. So a thinking, a form of communicating, tool using human at about 4 million years. Let's just take that as the official line, which it is. Well, here we are without the technologies that were either stolen or given to humanity. We would still be basically flying in hot air balloons and things like that. In other words, anybody who can travel here will know all about this planet, could well have participated in its development for good or ill, and is probably fascinated and drawn to it. So yes, I would say the only way you wouldn't know it is if you were coming from such a vast distance or from a time zone that was different, that there were no records held on this planet. And so you arrived and you just didn't know and you got caught. Remember that many of the Palladians who eventually incarnated in dolphins or porpoises on this planet, that's how they were caught, because they had no records of this planet being turned into a prison planet. But in most instances, people who are trapped here are either sent here, hence it's a prison planet, or they chose to come here knowing what they know, because it is the best place to learn. Now, to the second question, in most cases, it is possible to get in and out through holes in the grid. There are some very, very enlightened beings that are able to bend the wefts or wafts of energy that create this grid temporarily, and to escape or enter through that. But that's quite rare. So if you are a very, very powerful being, you can bend the bars, for want of a better word. You think of the old things of King Kong in the 1930s, the old models where he would hold the bars and pull them apart. But from a mind point of view, that's not too dissimilar. But the rest of us have to look for the gaps or the holes in the net. So that's a really good question. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Here's an interesting drift back through time. Let's have a look here. The Solway Firth spaceman. Are you aware of this?
No.
Okay. In 1964, a photo was taken by the father of a 5-year-old girl on Berg Marsh overlooking Solway Firth in Cumbria. The photo shows a figure in the background wearing what looks like a space suit. After the photo was published, the girl's father was apparently visited by two men who said they were from the government and wanted to ask him about the figure in the photo. So are you able to comment on this photo and event? Maybe not.
No, because I'm not familiar with it. Did he send a photo? Did he send a copy of the photo?
No. I think, you know, if people get this, if they listen to the show and if you can ask a single focused question, and if it refers to something else like events or people, places, times, to include a link so that Simon can, quickly be appraised of it, as I might read out the question, if you see what I mean. So, I thank everybody in advance.
I tell you why that sounds genuine. In the sense, because back in 64, I think you said it was 64.
64, yes. Nobody knew spacemen, did they?
Yeah, you would definitely have been visited by two men from the government. It's only in the last 7-8 years that the traditional men in black now are not visiting people in anything like the numbers, simply because the number of people reporting things has grown. The acceptance by most people on this planet now is quite high, and therefore that they've given up trying to contain it at a local level. The only way the system now contains it is by not giving any credence to it by the established media. However, there are still some occasions where something of such a monumental potential happening occurs that you would still get men in black turning up. And I have very briefly talked about it. There are two sorts of men in black. There is the human, who is psychically capable, and often these people are mixed race. I don't mean white and black. I mean alien, off planet, and human. And then there's the other group, which is completely alien. But we never hear about it, because we all talk about men in black. Now, why would there just be men? Why would there never be any women? And in fact, there are. There are women in black. Now, they dress like men in the sense that they wear pants, they wear trousers, and they wear a black top. It's all tight. They don't wear necessarily a white shirt and a black tie. And this is going to sound really a bit bizarre, except in times of ceremony. If you think about the Men in Black film that Hollywood very successfully put on, the agents wore a black tie and a white shirt. You should also do your research and look at the time of Adolf Hitler, the Schutzstaffeln, the SS. Hitler designed the uniforms for these people, and indeed they wore black uniforms, white shirt and black tie. I can tell you that there's absolutely no coincidence here. So women in black wear a black catsuit, if you want, for a better word, except at times of ceremony, and they dress like the men. They wear a white shirt and a black tie. There are not very many of them. If we were to say out of 100%, probably 12 to 15% are women. The rest is men, and that is why most people report men in black and not women. I thought that might be just quite interesting for you. You sent me another picture. What am I looking at?
Yes, if you open that picture up, and if you're able to zoom into it, you can see that what appears to be a person facing, oh, I don't know, away, because the elbow is shifted back. Anyway, they can see it in the chat room. I'm going to have to post these things in the video comments. But anyway, there you are. There's the picture. Would you, if you were a man in black, would you visit the person who took this photo?
No, I really wouldn't. I would be much more interested in what's going on here, because the girl is wearing a dress of flowers and is holding a posy of flowers, and the flowers appear to match and morph into the dress. This could just be coincidental, but to me this is symbolism, and certainly I would be interested in the family's background. The guy poking out of her head, we can't say photoshopping, because this is a 1970s picture. I think it's 70s because of the style of dress. Is there a date on this?
64 is supposed to be.
I beg your pardon, it's a 64. So it's much earlier. I went for 70s because it was orange. And I know in the 1970s, orange and brown were the major colours. Well, there was no way in 1964, to my knowledge, that the civilian population had the capability of doing anything of photoshopping. The only difficulty I have is that just below it and ahead, it appears to be a white line, like a light source coming around. But I would not, I tell you why government agents would visit you. I tell you why they would. Let's say for instance, this is a fake picture. All right, I'm not saying it is, but let's just say it's a fake picture and it got media attention. So back in the 60s, the only way we'd get attention would be on a radio show or newspapers or some magazine or potentially possibly television. Well, if that got public airing, then it would get interest simply because of the nature of it and the effect it was having on the communities. So the guys would turn up to say, stop it. Stop connecting with the media, stop doing this. So it would be more likely that they would be interested in preventing debate rather than where did you get the picture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't look like anything I would know. It's wearing a helmet. Now that's interesting, because it means that whatever was here, if this is real, is not an earth breathing. It's not an air, beg your pardon, it's not an air-breathing creature of the earth. So it's not in energy form. When a creature turns up in energy form, it doesn't need to inhale oxygen, so it can exist in an energy form. But we know precisely that there are lots and lots of cases of off-planet entities that are here in the real physical world. Now, those creatures that breathe helium or are a range of gases will die if they are forced to breathe oxygen for any length of time. So they will, if they're going to be for a period of time, they will wear masks. I have seen several creatures that wear a breathing apparatus. But I can't say whether that's a real creature or not. What's fascinating is that the face appears to be black. So if it's fake, you would still get government agents turning up because of the publicity. I have never seen anything as unusual as that before. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, the weird thing is, like, if there was a being who was standing there in that aspect, at that place, behind her head, he would have to be floating above the ground, because his foot level, if you kind of extrapolate the rest of his body, his foot level is about the level of the horizon. And you wouldn't yes. get that unless he was, like, really lanky under that. You know, he looks kind of normal proportioned there, but he'd have to be really lanky to be kind of standing behind her. And there's also, he's also got a funny angle. I think this is a confluence of various things. I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think my view would be, why would you, if you're going to fake it, why would you put something like that? Why would you do that? What would be the point? Because you're taking a picture, presumably of your daughter or your niece or something. Why would you go to the bother of putting that on there and then putting that around, the media? Unless when you took that film, remember we're talking the '60s and for younger audience, you used to have to go into a chemist or a shop, and then you used to have to hand your film in, and they would send it away for a week and develop it and come back. That's how it was in the bad old days. Supposing, for instance, he took a picture of her and that's exactly how she was without anything at the back, but it came back from the developers with that on. Now, although it sounds crazy, there have been a number of operations undertaken by departments within certain agencies who have done that to see what the individual does and to see how, if it goes public, what actually occurs. So I'm not saying that the person that took this deliberately falsified that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that somebody has done that. And if it was in the '60s, it was during a period of time. You think about Blue Book and all the other times when the government was terrified of getting the truth out, was terrified of people, and they set up one fake sham organization that just took phone calls from people, and when it was just something that wasn't bothered with, they made no notice of it. But where somebody had a close encounter, they really did pretended to do nothing, but they really took that on board. So this is a very, very intriguing picture. I'm not prepared to write it off, but I think that there is some agency involved in that. So thank you for sharing it.
Great. So now, let me get back to the, there we are. All right. Okay. So, from
tea time.
Yeah. What am I talking about? I have a nice old song. Do you remember Joan Armour Trading?
Of course.
Here's Help Yourself, which is message, really, isn't it? And welcome back to Connecting Consciousness. It is now 8 o'clock on the 7th of January, 2018. I had to think for a second. That. It's still only the 7th. This is Connecting Consciousness, and I hope Simon is back with us. Are you there still? Are you there yet?
Hello, JP.
There you are.
Yeah, I've just had a very useful text from somebody. giving some insight. You know the question about the question was something like a reptilian general.
Yes.
If it was like soul killed or something or other. Well, I've just had a very helpful text back, which has clarified it, because the person said, as I recall, you said something about if a Draco is captured, they will be given a choice to either self-destruct or spend life in a prison. I'm not sure, but maybe to be downgraded to the first or second dimension. So what got me with the question was the word general that was used. And I had no recollection of talking about a reptilian general. But that is not a general. It is one of the potential here is an elite Draco Lord, who these Dracos will be given the opportunity to change, but those that don't change, they will have the choice, if that's the right word, I suppose it is a choice, to either to remain in a fourth dimensional bubble and to be in an ever-shrinking world in a lower fourth, or whether they wish to go into another dimension at a different level, lower, and then work their way up. Now, you might say, why would you take a lower dimension? But the reality is that if you have a fault in your system, you have to go before the fault occurred, so that when you develop again, you don't make that same mistake. If you were to be knocked back a few pegs, but you still incarnate once that fault, well, that genetic imprint is there, it's harder to change. So sometimes one has to go back to before a happening to go through. So that's the point. It's not a, it was not a general, a reptilian in general. It was a Draco. So that's great. Let me just quickly say that, Sylvia from Connecting Consciousness in Canada asked me a question, and she was quite upset actually. She said, you've been talking about group meditations and you haven't done any meditations. Basically she was saying that, you know, I talk a lot of nonsense. well, no. The reason that we haven't done group meditations are national meditations or international meditations are for two reasons. The first is that I've been wanting different groups of Connecting Consciousness to send in their important issues so that we could choose something that was worth meditating planet-wide. I've always said that a country's coordinators should coordinate the meditation of that country, but sometimes there are issues that are so great that we would want to do it right across the planet, and sacrificing of children is one such issue. I had two plans to do something like that, but at the last minute the satanic forces pulled the plug on what they were planning. Didn't go public with it because at the time I didn't want these people to know that I was being fed information about what their plans were within timescales. If say for instance a satanic master, that's the right word, if a satanic master makes a statement on Tuesday afternoon GMT at 2 o'clock, and then I go on 2 hours later and say something to the contrary or do something, they will know, excuse me, who has passed that information to me, because they will know who they've spoken to and they will work out the time zone. So I will wait weeks sometimes before I'll do something or say something, unless it's life threatening for the planet, then I don't care. I'll just come out and say it. But there is a responsibility to people who pass information. There is a responsibility to keep those people safe. Notwithstanding, if they think they're not safe, they won't pass any more information. So there have been two instances where I was about to go for a planet-wide meditation, but the necessity for that was pulled at the last minute because the rather evil forces decided they wouldn't do what they wanted to do. Doesn't mean in the future that we won't be doing it. So I ask people to keep faith with me. You know, I can't always tell people, oh, well, I had to stop this because this happened, because it would compromise other people. And you just got to go with it. And if you don't like that, then leave and, you know, go somewhere else. So that's that. Now, what I want to do is just to thank people. My website, not my website, but my internet went down again as usual. So I want to thank some people who have kindly donated. I couldn't get the full list because the jolly old website went down. But I do want to thank, over the period, Christmas period, people were very supportive, and I'm really grateful to you. My car went through its MOT, It was £300 worth of work required. I couldn't buy another car for £300. So people have helped me out over the Christmas period to keep my car on the road. It's vital that I am able to travel around. So thanks ever so much to Kirsten, to Natalie, to Raymond, Jeff, Charlene, Martin, Ursula. Looks like another Carlene, Thomas, Patents. I think I've pronounced that right. Shauna, Richie, Gillian, Hans, Candice, and Gerald. Now, there are others, but unfortunately the site went down when I was making that. And what I've tried to do also is be a little bit more organized. And I'm trying now to also email people just to say thank you personally for donating. But I would still going to do this readout on the list. And it doesn't matter whether someone sends me 1, 5, 10 or whatever it is. I will always try and thank people because it keeps us going. And JP, you know, and others know that we don't get support from the government. We're not the official religious church. People don't realize that not only do churches receive bequests from rich people who die and they give their money to them, or churches collect money by passing a hat around, but the government actually gives the state church money. And did people know that a churchman doesn't pay council tax? That there's lots of tax breaks for the church. And that seems very odd, isn't it? You know, why would you do that? We know, for instance, that big corporations, Amazon, Google, they're very good at getting out of paying tax. And so the ordinary people get hammered. And that's what's wrong. That's what needs to change. Connecting Consciousness is an organization that is going to be put on I jokingly said to someone tonight, onto a war footing. That sounds very Donald Trumpish. And what I mean by that is that we now need to take, not the fight, but we now need to take the argument to the next level. I believe that we need to do that. Connecting Consciousness was set up not just to sit around and drink tea. It's really nice to connect and to talk and support each other, but we do need to start making changes. So I just ask people to understand that I'm under some pressure. It's not easy to do what I do. And I do it with the best grace that I can, with the greatest love I can. I've survived so far, and I hope to goodness me that I'll carry on doing it. And if we can get this healing center up or anything else up, then, you know, we are making a real positive contribution to humanity, and we must change the paradigm. And everyone is doing that in their own way who is spiritual. Whatever you do, whether you're doing it in your own home, the workplace, when you go to the library, it doesn't matter. You are setting an example. You are challenging in a nice way, and you are making a statement that there is a better world than the one that we're being fed. Because when I go out on the streets and I look at people, I see basically good people who are very unhappy, trapped, want a different way out, but don't know anything different. And I said to somebody today, imagine a canary in a birdcage, and you cut 6 or 7 bars so the bird can fly out of that cage, and you stand back and you wait for the bird to gain its freedom, but it doesn't do that. And you look and you think, what on earth's happening here? I've set it free. Why doesn't it go? And the bird says, because every morning and every afternoon, a hand comes through the door and fills my little bowl up with grain, with bird seed. So I'm going to stay here because I'm getting bird seed. Doesn't matter, I'm a prisoner and I'm in a cage, because I feel safe because I'm getting my grain. And so that's really good, as far as I'm concerned, an analogy of the human race. It needs to be brave and understand that it's been held in slavery. Absolutely, it's been held in slavery. And so the bars are beginning to break, but it's not competent enough to step outside of that cage into the new paradigm, the new world, because back in its cage, it's going to get 2 meals a day. And that's what we face. We need to overcome people's programmed fear. And so connecting consciousness is just another strand of all the other things that people and organizations are doing, and we need to work together. We are all individual and we have our own pet plans, but we all should share common goals. And I would love to see every spiritual organization across the planet linking up and having a big meeting once a year, sending guest speakers. It's nothing to do with politics, but it's to do with trying to build a momentum on this planet that we can overturn centuries of control. So, you know, I'm really hopeful of 2018. I'm really, really feeling good. There's a lot of good things happening. So let's get on with the questions. Thank you, JP.
And now on with the questions. From Khalil. As many people now are waking up to the energetic ecosystem and becoming aware of our interactions with viral and parasitic entities, what energy tools would you recommend as an essential awake and aware survival kit? As in,
there are a number of devices which are now, I don't say freely available, they're very expensive, but there are some, and I did actually try one last year. I thought it was called I'm not very good with these things, a Reef or a Rife device.
A Royal Rife.
Which you...
Is it a spooky?
Pardon?
There's a spooky too, Royal Rife generator on the market. That's the latest one. But the is it a purple glass envelopes?
You put your feet on it. I did. You take your shoes off, socks off, and you connect, and it activates through your skin. But there are other devices you put your hands on or are connected to you. These are devices that the system has known about since the 1950s, but they're only now becoming, people are brave enough to push them out there and you can buy them. Those devices do work. I've had it and it was quite effective for what I wanted it for. So there are devices available. There will be healers and, you know, you bet your bottom sixpence. Can't use any modern money because I don't want any satanic energy on it. So we use an old coin that used to circulate in Britain a long time ago. You can bet your sixpence that if I can get this healing center up and running, that's the sort of devices we would want. Things that can crack up implants, things that can heal holes in auric fields. There are devices out there that have a very good effect on forms of cancer. In fact, in Great Britain, there was quite a character called Noel Edmonds. And Noel Edmonds used to have a radio show and a TV show. He was a pop presenter, and he did a number of quiz shows. And he had a form of cancer, and he used an electronic device, which he claimed cured him. And unfortunately, he was attacked left, right, and center by the establishment, who were terrified that this would affect drug sales. He's the very sort of man that you know we need to be connecting with, because he's someone who's been in the public eye, who says he's used an alternative medical device and it worked for him. So it is out there, and that's what we want to see. So yes, there are. You just do your research, connect with local healing centers. People have their own websites, and you will find there are a whole range of electromagnetic or vibrational devices which use crystals or don't use crystals. And, you know, it's so much better than even 3 years ago. It's a real alternative out there now.
Energetic tools, my speciality. Anyway, now this is from Butebury. Dear Simon and JP, Happy New Year to you. New Year for all us. My question is regarding that I have heard many in the truth movement comment that if we are to be saved, that only we can do this for ourselves. I presume that this has not changed in the last 2,000 years or so, but has always been the case. Is Jesus Christ then all part and parcel of the system of control, or possibly something that the elite want us to put our energy into so that we actually manifest such a being through our power to create. If he was in the past a real person and the controlling bloodlines of today are of his blood, then who exactly is he? Many thanks from Stuart.
Probably the hardest question I've ever been asked in all the years we've done the radio show.
Pretty astute.
Yeah. Sometimes something can be created by the system to uphold the system, and then it rebels against the system. If you think about the Matrix film, Neo was originally a character that was created by the system because every so often it rebooted and he was just to play a part in that. But he grew beyond that. And so the controllers were actually fearful of him because he achieved a level of freedom that no other Neo before him had achieved. In the Matrix film, it didn't actually break free, but he bought such a large slice of freedom that there was the potential for humanity to break free of its own accord. Right. If Jesus Christ was a full controlling or controlled element, he would never have overturned the money changers' tables. Jesus wasn't against the fact that people were lending money. What he was angry about was the interest rates that was being charged. So he overturned that. They didn't have banks in those days. What they would have is literally just a bazaar and a marketplace, and there would be tables. And there was each of the areas of the bazaars were earmarked. So you would have fish in one corner. Don't imagine in the markets that we have in Great Britain or other places. Actually, Germany is quite themed. But in Britain, you know, you could have a fish stall next to someone doing bread, next to somebody doing chocolates. It's like whoever turns up, they get the stall. But there wasn't like that. So you would have the bread quarter. You would have the olive quarter. There would be... and you would then look at five or six stalls and you would say, who has got the best quality olives? Who's got the freshest fish? So you would be able to compare them. So the money changers had one section and they literally had tables. They were called money changers because they also did, you know, other countries had different coinage, but they made their money by lending, and then charging a huge interest. Jesus overturned those tables. Because he was appalled by people living off the poor. Rich people don't need to borrow money. And when they do borrow money, they're in a position to pay it back in a few days' time. One person once said to me that banks only lend money to people that don't need it. What he actually meant was people who've got assets already frozen or hidden. But they have a lot of money, but it's tied up. But poor people who have no assets, you know, if you go to a bank and you want money, the first thing they say is, well, what have you got? A surety. What have you got? Have you got a house? Have you got this? Have you got a health insurance policy? What is it that if you fail to pay me back, I can take off you? And that's the reality. So that's what Jesus was against. Was Jesus a real character? I believe that he was. I do not believe that he was completely created in a book. I think he was. I think that he was designed to do something and then went against that programming. And he decided that he would be a maverick and he would do what he chose to do out of free will. What's happened is that... in order to maintain the masculine energy control on the planet, the people who eventually became the religious masters took out certain elements from the Bible, like Enoch and others, changed things. They didn't change it all. They still left some mistakes, which give us some fantastic clues. But basically, they turned it into a story, a play, which ultimately... the sales pitch is come to church. The whole thing about the Bible is come to church. Whereas Jesus actually said to his disciples, and I quote, you, in English, you don't need to go to church to pray. Jesus actually said you can pray in your own home. And in fact, that's what he wanted. He wanted people to pray in their own home. He did not want people to pray outside. He used to say, look at all these people praying in public, just to show you how religious they are. These actual words were how devout they are. Why would you need to stand in a public place and rock backwards and forwards and mutter and make offerings? You're doing it in public because you want people to see how you are. So he turned against the control system. He turned against whatever plan they had for him. And one of the reasons that the story came to an end was because they couldn't take him any further with it. So yes, the story in its essence is correct, but it has been completely and totally hijacked and been used for totally wrong elements. You know, I remember when I was in school, primary school in the 1970s, Jesus was blue-eyed, blonde hair, and skin so fair, you know, he must have just come out of a Sunday school. You know, that is the image that was portrayed. And I always found it, how could somebody go to Africa and say, you heathen bunch, I'm going to make Christians of you, here is my God. He's got blue eyes, fair skin and fair hair. He looks nothing like you. And this is my God and I want you to worship him. You know, and I tell you another story. When I was in London in, it'll be 1985, a lot of people from black and ethnic minorities in London, you know, have been for a very long time. And I remember a young woman from Jamaica, born in Jamaica, came to Britain, saying that when she was in school in Jamaica, there was a class of goodness knows how many, but they used to always, all light-skinned, there was one girl that was very black, and they used to make jokes of her and call her Midnight because she was black. So here you have racism amongst a mixed-race group where being the lighter-skinned was seen as being really good, and being dark-skinned was seen as really bad. And so you get Hollywood who want very light-skinned people from the Caribbean, and then they'll push them into high positions or give them lots of media coverage. And does it all go back, I wonder, to missionaries 200 years ago arriving on the shores of Africa and saying, this is my God, blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skin. So this is the problem on this planet. It's a very clever programming system. And we don't have to be clever to break through. We just have to be truthful and we have to believe in ourselves and just throw this nonsense out. So sort of a roundabout answer, but I hope that helps a bit. Thank you.
Yeah, I think people need to remember it's, you know, the people we see as, oh, the first black president, he was not that black, really, you know.
No, he wasn't.
A quarter or something. And, you know, a little bit of
blood. British.
Yeah.
He was British. Uh-huh. He wasn't American at all. He was born in the Cayman Islands.
Oh, wow.
He was British. He was British. And they had to do all the swaps on him. He was got ready for being president when he was 5 years old. They'd have planned that all out. They do that with these people. I'm glad we don't have him anymore. And that was the problem. That of course it seemed like fantastic. Finally, you know, what Martin Luther King had once said, you know, when we see a black president, we know we've got three. And everybody thought fantastic. You know, we've got a black man. The next thing we'll have is a woman. But what happened was that they just got a more of the same in a different package. And that's why they learned the lesson, because they didn't say, Hillary Clinton, we're going to have our first woman president. What they said is, oh, it's more of the same wrapped up in a different package. And that's what's interesting. People are not falling for it anymore, not in the numbers they used to. It's very encouraging.
So continuing on the idea of an awakening humanity, we come to Anunnaki. Hiya, Simon and JP. I love your show. Is it true that Anu has turned over a new leaf and wants to work closely with the human race?
I wonder where you got that story from. There is a grain of truth in that. There is a grain of truth in that. Right. I suppose you'd have to have been in one of their bodies and lived a life with them to really understand what it means to be like them. How can anybody who's not been a slave empathize with a slave? You know, I get sick of people saying, oh, I know how you feel. Well, actually, no, you don't, because you've not been a slave, or you've not been this, or you've not been that. And it's just platitude. So the reality here is yes, but not as we would perhaps hope for. A very, very long time ago, goodness knows how long ago, I have no idea. Time was projected forward, and it was very obvious that this planet would evolve, and they would do everything in their power to prevent the planet from evolving and to prevent the intelligent life forms on it also evolving. And they would do what they could to either stop it, or if not stop it, slow it down. If they couldn't stop it, they have to have a fallback plan. Now, it may be very, very hard for people to accept, but there is actually a feeling of guilt amongst the highest ranking reptilians. Now, you'd say, well, why do they still go on doing what they're doing? Well, why does a junkie still take junk and then feel guilty about what he or she has done while they're on the junk? And it's a drug. I remember a senior reptilian saying to me once, I said to him, you seem very sad. And he said to me, I carry much guilt. So let us take that forward. It's illegal in their law to change the law. In this world, you win an election and you change the law. And then the next party comes in and, you know, wins an election and changes it back again. But these guys don't have elections like that. And there are certain laws that can't be changed, regardless of who comes in and who leaves. But if you're looking down the barrel of a gun and you're saying, look, the human race is going to evolve. Our world in the lower fourth dimension is going to literally bud off and become a smaller, excuse me, a smaller and smaller realm until we basically just disappear. We've got to get out of this, but we're not allowed to change the law. So how do we do it? Well, one of the ways you do it, and this is quite revolutionary, though I think some people will be aware of this on the radio show, is that you incarnate on Earth, but not in a full reptilian body, because you've got to incarnate in a way that you experience the world through a human. So there are a number of people on the planet who are in a human or largely human body, who contain royal reptilian souls. Now, every time that individual does something good, it forces the energy in the fourth dimension with whom they're connected to the positive side. Every time they do something bad, it forces it the other way. And the object of this experiment was that then the ruling elite could say, we are going to change, not because we are changing, not because we are writing the rules, but us down there are changing, and they are forcing the change through us. And that is one aspect of it. Now, whether that works or not, I really don't know. But they are aware that their time is limited. They are aware that the human race is going to evolve and it cannot be stopped. What they are not decided on is whether they can sit round the table and say, hands up, we admit to everything, give us another chance. Whether they're going to go down fighting tooth and nail, or whether they want some form of compromise. And like all reptilians, they will wait until 1 second to midnight before they make a decision. So some of them would rather die as they see it in honor and glory, than be reasonable. But there's a growing proportion that want that. Now, we're seeing that in the breakup of the elite on the planet. These are the minders, the managers on the planet. It's all falling apart because the direction they're getting is weakened. They're not getting the direction. They're not being held in line. The masters with the whips aren't hitting them as much. So therefore, they are jumping ship. So we can see a breakdown. And I hope, for their own sake and the survival of their own race, that they can atone for what they've done and they can come round the table and maybe something can be worked out. So there's always hope. Good question. Thank you.
Fabulous. So now, this is, from Namical, Iran, Russia. Seems like Trump is ready with the help of Netanyahu to attack Iran. This can't be good. Is Trump really a Zionist? It was reported recently that the American military is collecting Russian RNA. Why? Best wishes for 2018. Sincere gratitude.
Thank you. I know David Icke is basically said that Trump is in the hands of the Zionists. That's not actually true. I think it's a very, very difficult game for Trump. Most of the advisors around him are influenced by Zionists. There's a lot of talk about, some of the key players, around Trump being, not good people. And that's probably true. I have said it before that the world, by and large, is controlled by evil people. So when somebody who is not evil comes up, the only way he or she can deal with these evil people is through intermediaries. So it's necessary for Trump to have intermediaries who are accepted and allowed to address certain meetings. If you're not part of the club, you don't go in. And if you don't go in, you don't have a say. The most powerful elements on the planet are the Zionists. You look at the history of the Khazarian Jews, and if you begin to understand the power that they wield, you'd have to come to terms with them in some shape or form. But it doesn't mean that Trump has sold out. Now, the situation with Iran is very interesting because we've got a very hot environment between Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Iran. That's the hot. And you've got Israel attempting to hide behind Saudi Arabia to form some form of attack. I don't mean necessarily a physical attack, but an attack on Iran. And who would ever believe to see the Zionists and the Saudis all cozying up? And if you can remember, just before Christmas, a number of royal members of the Saudi family died. And that's all part of what's going on. So don't think that Trump has sold out. Iran is a key environment in terms of portals, in terms of uncollected artifacts to the history of the planet. And it was such a, never mind the numbers, millions that died in Iraq, because people are more important than anything else. But the destruction to the heritage, the real truth, the real heritage of this planet, when Iraq was attacked, the loss of our culture from a world point of view was absolutely devastating, and that was deliberate to remove certain technological items, certain stargates, portals, etc., etc., etc. The situation with Iran is very different. Trump has no intention of attacking Iran at all. The game that's being played, remember that that the Zionism, part of the battle I talked about earlier that President Trump is dealing with at the moment, there is a strong connection to the Zionist group. And so a man on a tightrope, and I'm talking about President Trump, a man on a tightrope doesn't swat flies. He keeps his hand out for balance because he needs to stay on that tightrope. And things are buzzing or biting him. He's got to say, that's a secondary distraction. I have to keep walking on my tightrope because when I get to the other end, then I can turn round and I can wallop the flies, whatever. So that is the situation. The biggest threat on the planet in terms of organization is Zionism. And let me just put the caveat in. This is not the Jewish state. This is not the Jews. This is a religious, fanatical, zealot group, the Zionists. And I explained before, why did Trump agree to accept the capital in Jerusalem rather than Tel Aviv? And the reason is that for all intents and purposes, it's always been Jerusalem. The Israeli government has the Knesset and other buildings in their major cities, but it's always felt that the heart of their city is Tel Aviv. And the difficulty is that politically it's shared by the Muslim nations. But if you think about where the Dome of the Rock is, and not directly underneath it, but to the one side of it, is the temple that Solomon, King Solomon, built. So both faiths or cultures can claim Jerusalem as their city. And that was the reason there was so much hoo-ha, because when Israel claimed it, and always has done, but when America ratified that, the United Nations got up and made a huge fuss. Now, doesn't that show a change? Because the United Nations is what is it, 75% paid for by America. United Nations was created to rubber stamp anything the Americans ever sent. And as long as Obama was in power, and as long as the Clintons were in power, that's exactly what happened. But now that Trump's in power, suddenly the United Nations is no longer supporting America. Well, of course it isn't, because it's made up of people who were placed in positions over many presidential lifetimes. People in career jobs, people who are blackmailed or bribed or corrupted to be down a certain road. So it's not that Trump has given in. It's Trump is playing a game of survival. He's no good to the planet if he dies tomorrow. He needs this term of office, and frankly, he needs a second term of office. And interesting that Cliff High, the Far Sight Institute, couldn't rule out a second term of office for Trump. There is an evens chance that he will get a second term of office. So there's a lot going on, and I know that there's a lot of debate. Just hang on in there. Let's see where we go with it. Good question. Thank you.
Okay, from the president of the universe. I saw this Japanese cartoon once that depicted Trump as president of the world. It's very interesting, little thing. Meanwhile, back at the British royal family, from Ik Ben Adi, Meghan Markle initiated by a dog breaking two legs. Good evening. Thanks for the good work. Was the dog of Meghan Markle her initiation for getting into the royal family?
I can't comment on that. That's the initiations. Usually initiations are done in a way that doesn't mark you. It's been a very interesting debate about black eyes. It's no good if you become the member of the black eyed club. Oh, you've got a black eye. You've been, you know, initiated into some secret society. So when a person is initiated, it is a secret initiation, which means that you don't have anything that marks that out. If you have something like that, that is a punishment. Now, it usually means that you are already a member of a secret society. You transgress in their eyes. They don't throw you out because they don't want you out, because you could cause them more damage. They don't want to kill you. So they punish you in some way. Now, they could punish you by taking property off you or making your businesses fail. But there's an old adage which comes from these times, which is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And back in England, in the Anglo-Saxon times, there was a rule that was written that equated what somebody did with a type of punishment. So we get this phrase, don't we, that the crime fits the punishment or the punishment fits the crime. So depending on the type of crime that you committed, allegedly, then you would face an incremental increase, as it got worse, punishment. So sometimes people can have their legs broken, their arms broken, a black eye. If you go back in Great Britain's history, just go back 20 years, when there were all the troubles in Ireland, when the IRA were dealing with what they called a traitor, they would shoot them in the kneecaps. And it got the phrase kneecapping. And it was a classic sign that you had betrayed the IRA. So organizations will have a hallmark not to join them, but when you are already in that organization and they wish to send a message out that you betrayed that organization and this is the price you paid. So that's much more likely what you're looking at. It's a good question.
Very good. Rather gruesome, but very good. Thank you, Simon. Let's have a look here. Food. Yes. This is obviously somebody who's only recently heard your thing, but Pete is asking, I love the show. Just a quick question. I'm sure I heard in a YouTube interview given by Simon some time ago that Simon doesn't eat onions or garlic. Is it true? And if so, why? Thanks for a great show.
I want to thank people for new people for joining, because that's the whole point of this. It's about reaching out to new people whilst maintain the interest of people who have been at it for a long time. We want to grow this army, and I'm using the word army in a gentle way. We want to bring the critical mass so that more and more people ask questions and create their own freedom. And by creating their own freedom, they create the freedom for humanity. So I don't mind people asking me questions that have been asked 20 times before, if that person is new to us, and it's refreshing that we are getting new people. That's fantastic. I don't eat onions and garlic, not because I'm a vampire. There are lots of jokes made about that. I came from a very interesting background. My grandfather, we would call him today a high-ranking member of the Illuminati, and he was the guy who said to me, we don't eat onions and we don't eat garlic. He was also the guy that when, do some advertising now, I think it was Colgate or McLean's. I remember this toothpaste suddenly, it was the late 60s. I think it was 1969 or 1970. And it was a white toothpaste with these red stripes. Was it called SR or something? Anyway, my grandfather
Gibbs
said,
SR.
That's it. That's the
one. The Ring of Confidence.
Ah, right. And I remember my grandfather saying to me, right, we're not going to use this because it's got fluoride in it. We don't use fluoride because it's a poison. This is the toothpaste you are going to use. And then handed me a toothpaste that was non-fluoride. And he was the one that said we don't use onions and garlic. Now, here's something really interesting. I love this. And I should have taken a screenshot. I really wish I had. It was in a place in North Yorkshire called, I think it was either Pickering or Thirsk. So it was a market town in North Yorkshire. And I'd gone with a friend to a vet's, and on the wall was a poster, and it was talking about cats, and it said these are the things that cat mustn't eat because they're poisonous, and it actually listed garlic, and it said that garlic affected its immune system, it reduced its immune response. And that's the very first time I've ever seen anything about garlic being negative to a mammal. And that was an official poster in a vet's consulting room. And, you know, my grandfather doesn't seem so crazy now. saying you're not going to have it. And he said to me, the reason we don't eat garlic or onions is because it affects the synapse in the brain. It actually prevents the synapse from connecting, and it can affect that. That's what he told me. And here we go, many, many years later, in a vet's, we're talking about cats, so I must make that clear, not humans, about cats, saying it affected their immune response. So I don't eat garlic and onions, neither did he, and I don't have fluoride water either. Good question. I hope you continue to listen. I hope you continue to research, and find the truth. It's very important. God bless you.
Thank you. This is from Sir JMP. Souls, Source, and the Hat Man. Question. Love you guys and love your work. Is your soul free from this godforsaken, sorry, prison planet if your person dies off planet, i.e. Being abducted? Does your soul retain past life memories when your soul gets back to Source? And what exactly does a Hat Man look like before having the black hole effect? Is it an energy being, or does it really wear a hat with a trench coat?
Okay. We've made the golden mistake here. Can we just have the first question again, please?
Sorry, yes. again, you know, I is your soul free from this godforsaken prison planet if your person dies off planet?
Well, it is free in the sense that you are physically off this planet. And if you die off this planet, then the soul is in that physical body, so you are out of its control network. However, depending on who is around you, you could be captured, the soul I'm talking about, and sent back. It could be that you choose to come back because you have unfinished business on the planet. So if your physical body ends and you are off the planet, then you are out of the control system, but there are a host of people who would want to put you back in there. So that's my answer to the first question.
Okay, and does your soul retain past life memories when your soul gets back to the Source?
Absolutely. Because what happens is that Source has the capability to, almost in a computer like rebooting, it has the capability to wipe clean and to reconnect, because you are, it's like the Akashic Records. You may not consciously remember, but it is recorded, and so Source is connected to the Akashic, so Source can draw down the Akashic, so you have a reconnection every time you go back to Source. You have a reconnection of everything that you remember on a DNA level, on your soul level, but you cannot recall necessarily on a physical level. So the answer is yes.
Alongside this, a question from another listener from Sweden. Where does the soul go if you commit suicide? Thanks for a great show.
Right. in 95, I suppose I'm being arbitrary here, in 95% of cases it just does exactly what every other soul does, whether it's the body's ended prematurely, say a car crash or something like that, or whether you die of old age. However, where a life is taken unexpectedly, there is a small percentage that the soul cannot leave the earth. In those instances, the soul remains either energetically connected to a location, or an individual, or an item. Because if a person is so troubled in their mind that they end their life physically, they did so not necessarily to go back to Source, but to escape whatever it was that they felt was so great they couldn't overcome it. But having done that, they then realized they shouldn't have done it. And therefore they wanted to hang on, either because they miss people, or they have a favorite pet, or a particular location. And so these are the, what we would call loosely, the trapped souls that are connected to an item, an individual, or a geographical location. But in most cases, regardless of how the physical body is ended, its operational stops, the soul will still maintain the same journey. Because a body is just a body. But it's about trauma. Also, if a soul has incarnated in a body that has, over many generations, been through trauma, then the soul will begin to learn from this, and therefore will make choices or decisions that it would not necessarily have done. That's something that we could do as a webinar. So, good question. Thank you for that.
The journey of the soul topic. Okay, now this is something that kind of tickled a memory of mine, and I know this feeling. Okay, so this is from Emissi, and she apologizes for her bad English, but I hope it's a she. Actually, it's a perfectly structured question. Sometimes when I'm going somewhere by car, and before I start the car, I'm having this little strange feeling that I can't drive a car, like I never learned how to drive, and why am I sitting here? Usually, I'm waiting until I have the feeling again that I know I can drive. It's nothing to do with memories. I have a feeling that it's like another me. Dear Simon, what do you think is happening to me?
Very difficult from the little that you've written. There are two major possibilities. One is that you have an alternate personality. And that alternate personality isn't a driver, and that switches off and on, but that would lead to more questions about what's happened in your past. The other possibility is that, you are connecting with a past life at a time when there were no motor cars. So you are switching. It's not about personalities in this case, it's about real use. It's switching between you in the physical body that you're in now and one you might have been in 200 years ago. And so you are accessing in real time the brain that you would have had 200 years ago, and you're saying, where are the reins? You know, where's the feedback for the horse? Oh, I'm not on a horse. What is this? And then the element connects with who you are now, and you remember that. So there, from the little bit of information you've given, it's going to be one of those two things. If it's an alternate personality, you will have had other issues that will have occurred in different ways, which would alert you to that. What you don't want is to be driving and then you to go into a situation where you think, where's the reins? Because that would be quite difficult, obviously. You want to put your foot on the brake, and you think, I've got spurs on my boots, and you're digging them into the horse to go faster or whatever. So what's happening to you is actually not to be frightened of. It's part of the change on the planet. There are people that are changing and developing and accessing other aspects of themselves. Whether it's alternate personalities or not doesn't matter. The fact is that people are on a process of renewal and breaking free. I did have reports some 6 years ago of people crashing their cars on straight. Okay, thanks, JP. Crashing their cars on straight roads. And nobody could understand why the cars had crashed. And all it was happening was that these individuals were coming out of what they were and going into another dimension. So a really good question. I'd have to know more. So thanks very much for that.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Simon. Sorry to hurry you. And
all right.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time, shall we not?
Yes, fantastic.
Do you have any gigs in the next couple of weeks?
I've got a couple of very important meetings to try and get this healing center up and running, and I'll be giving you an update when we've had that.
Simon Parks, thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless.